Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad. This is the Adweek Podcast, and it's a bonus episode because we have so much to talk about that we couldn't even cram into our episode that we pushed live on Monday. And we are here to talk about TikTok and all of the controversy around TikTok and what is happening and make sense of it. Co M is with us as always, our co-host and community editor for Adweek. And Co, who else do we have to help make sense of all this?
Yes, we have our intrepid reporter, Scott Nover, who has been watching all of the TikTok developments, especially over this past weekend. Welcome back to the show, Scott.
Thank you. I feel like I'm only here on bonus episodes, which means that something went terribly wrong in our planning for this.
No, it's like the ultimate red carpet, you know. It's like when, oh, we're having Scott on? No, we got to give him his own whole thing.
So kind of take us back, right? We talked about TikTok before in terms of it being a platform and the concerns with privacy and digital safety. What were the recent developments over this weekend, and what are you watching now?
So basically, let's take it back a couple of weeks when Donald Trump said that first Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, and then Donald Trump said that they wanted to ban TikTok and really didn't give much indication what that meant. The government doesn't really have the power to just ban companies. So that's when our reporting started and my colleagues and I started digging into what Trump could actually mean by that. And one of the roots is something that's already been going on for a while, which I think is what is actually happening. So it's a government agency called the Committee for Foreign Investment in the United States, which basically has the power to review and block mergers between different companies for national security concerns. And what that committee is doing, and President Trump overseeing it, is saying that they want to basically reverse the merger that between ByteDance, the company that TikTok is owned by, and Musical.ly, kind of its spiritual predecessor, that acquisition went through in 2017. And so now we're really seeing conversations between Microsoft and other potential suitors, seeing if they can swoop in and buy TikTok and alleviate some of the government's concerns, which stem from TikTok's security and their proximity to the Chinese government, which are both relative unknowns.
Yeah. And over Sunday, on August 2nd, Microsoft released a blog post that you shared, you know, that Microsoft, pending the deal, quote, would ensure that all private data of TikTok's American users is transferred to and remains in the United States. To the extent that any such data is currently stored or backed up outside the United States, Microsoft would ensure that this data is deleted from servers outside the country after it is transferred. They go on to say that they appreciate the U.S. government's and President Trump's personal involvement as it continues to develop strong security protections for the country. End quote. What does that exactly signal to you as you've been covering this, given that you know, a lot of TikTok users, as I saw on the app over the weekend, they were like, this could be my last post. And even, you know, the U.S. general manager, Vanessa Pappas, had to kind of address it and say, no, here's a video that says, like, we're not planning on going anywhere.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing for users and for advertisers is that even with all this uncertainty, TikTok, as you know it, might change a little bit, but it's not going to go away entirely. Again, the government doesn't have the power to stop an internet company from operating entirely in the United States, though it does have some of these merger powers. And so basically what all this means is, well, it kind of harkens back to concerns that that ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok, stores U.S. data elsewhere. For its part, ByteDance says, no, it stores U.S. data in the U.S. And critics allege that it is either storing it elsewhere or sending it back to China. So, I mean, I think even if they do store it in the United States, there's nothing preventing them from sending it back to China.
Yeah, I believe they've actually said that they also back it up in Singapore, unless I'm misremembering the specifics.
Right.
But
I think that is right. And,
but they've claimed that both of those are secure from any potential Chinese, you know, basically, if the Chinese government came and said, give us all that data on, you know, because I feel like maybe we should just quickly acknowledge, like, what is the concern here?
Sure.
There's two kinds of concerns here. There's the rational concerns, the ones that are somewhat well documented about TikTok. Then there are the more extreme concerns, which on Facebook over the weekend, I saw some folks. I'm very used to, as Scott probably is as well, and co. Twitter, you know, my Twitter crowd is a bit more curated in terms of it's a lot of peers and professionals that are kind of deep in the nuance of this stuff. On Facebook, it was more casual, you know, folks responding to how they've heard this stuff described. And they were saying this is Chinese spyware that is infiltrating America and tracking every American's movement. Now, obviously, not every American uses TikTok, but that's the fear. That's the portrait that Trump and others have painted. Right. And versus, like, I think your more security analyst level folks are more like, well, regardless of that, it's asking for too much information as an app.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that we wouldn't be having this conversation if this company originated in almost any other country. This is a very China-specific conversation, and it comes on the heels of an escalating trade war that the U.S. is having with China, increased diplomatic tensions. Both countries closed respective embassies in the other countries in the last couple of weeks. And the Chinese government does have a sophisticated espionage operation in the United States. We know this. But the question is TikTok a part of that? One expert I talked to from CSIS, a major think tank in D.C., basically said, you should be wary of China, but I don't think that TikTok has much to do with that. And it's not in the information that they're providing. Even if they did provide the Chinese government, it wouldn't be that valuable or new. So there are obviously critics who think that this information is incredibly important, and you know, it's being captured among a very young Gen Z audience in the United States. So there's kind of differing opinions on what the risk is, but it's really important to know that this is a very China specific concern, and that's really where this is rooted.
And it comes in the you know, the context of COVID-19, and also, you know, we can't forget what TikTok has done in the realm of politics, especially, you know, in terms of the stories that you've covered and written about with TikTok users, Gen Z and beyond, kind of rallying behind different causes, like, you know, going against a rally or things like that. So I'm sure there are several factors playing into this very specific situation.
I mean, there have to be. And so that is really where we get into some First Amendment questions that I touched on in my reporting. Now, if this is just about security and privacy and national security, that's one thing. If the Trump administration is imposing these government regulations or restrictions or reversing mergers based on free expression that is happening naturally on the app, then I think that's a bigger cause for concern in terms of how our government is, you know, responding to free speech. Basically, the story that was reported by the New York Times and some other outlets around Donald Trump's recent Tulsa rally was that TikTok users, specifically teenagers, were rallying to basically inflate the sign-up and registration list for the rally. And now that while that didn't, you know, prevent anyone from going to Trump's Tulsa rally, which was sparsely attended, and notably so, it did increase the expectations that the Trump campaign had. And basically, they said a million people were going to show up. I think 20,000 or something did show up. So it's just kind of an embarrassing thing. But if that is retribution for either that or some other political happenstance, then I think that's a serious cause for concern in terms of the government punishing a corporation for individuals' expression on that app.
Yeah, I mean, like in any other era, which of course is a phrase we use a lot these days, it would sound ridiculous and conspiratorial if we said the president is just upset about being made fun of and being made to look a fool on a platform, and therefore that's why the president is coming out against it. Trump, I think even his supporters would acknowledge, takes things very personally. And even today, I mean, today alone has already been launching individual attacks on people on his Twitter feed. That's pretty standard, pretty much most days of his feeds. And a lot of people have pointed out Sarah Cooper, who is the very well-known lip syncer of Donald Trump's audio clips. She just plays his audio, but she reenacts them very perfectly and has become, a viral star across several platforms. And she's also been joking, you know, if this is about getting me off TikTok, well, I'm also big on Twitter.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, in any other time, that would sound silly to say that, is it really because Sarah Cooper? I Googled her name just now, yeah. And sure enough, there's all these headlines about, is Sarah Cooper why?
Yeah, I mean,
TikTok.
I think it's not, you know, it's not, who knows? You know, no one should pretend to know what is in the president's head. There's those two examples, Tulsa and Sarah Cooper, who's created kind of a high profile in recent weeks for mocking the president. There's also that Kellyanne Conway's daughter is becoming kind of a TikTok famous influencer, and specifically for bashing the president and her own mother, which is, you know, it's weird, but it's interesting fodder. I mean, so, you know, we don't need to wade too much into our own. You can generate your own conspiracy theory on why this is happening. I think what is interesting is that Pompeo and Trump, to my knowledge, never really mentioned TikTok in the public sphere until very recently. I mean, concerns about TikTok are nothing new, and the company's been growing rapidly for, the couple of years it's been in existence. But so I think if there is I'm not going to assign any sort of motive for it, but I think that it's safe to say that if this were challenged in court, which, you know, who knows at this point what will happen, there would be a pretty decent First Amendment case saying that, you know, just highlighting the recency of some of these incidents.
It felt like Trump kind of opened the door for some of that when he initially said, and I don't know, every day feels like a year long now, but I think it was Friday, you know, when he said, I'm thinking about banning TikTok. I'll probably do it in the next few days. Oh, and also I'm not okay with a U.S. company buying it.
Yeah.
And which kind of implies I want to shut down TikTok, not I'm concerned about China.
Yeah, exactly. And so that kind of gets back to the limits of his power, which I and my colleague Rachel Winnikov detailed in a recent piece. He has a few options to make business incredibly uncomfortable for TikTok in the United States. And this one is one of them, where he would basically force TikTok to divest its U.S. operations if it wants to keep doing business with other U.S. entities. But he can't unilaterally shut it down. And for what it's worth, the, you know, even if he compelled a Google or Apple to, you know, block it from its app stores, you know, there are ways to, there are obviously VPNs, but there are ways to sideload, as it's known, apps onto a phone, and he wouldn't be able to delete the apps from the phone anyway. So there's a million and a half logistical questions about how that would actually happen, but I think it's all kind of bluster. And I think what will happen is that we will see a sale of the company to Microsoft or another entity, or Microsoft and a series of investors, and Trump will claim some sort of victory. But, you know, he did today in the last hour or two, this is, we're speaking at Monday at 2:30. He said that he actually now will bless Microsoft's proposed merger as long as they get it done by September 15th. He made some other ridiculous claims too that I won't get into right now. But he seems to be okay with Microsoft right now, assuming that they can come to terms to a deal. So, and that comes on the heels of a conversation that he supposedly had with Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, this weekend.
Now, the U.S. is not the first country to consider a ban like this. India had also banned TikTok. How much do you know about that one? Because I'm going to admit, other than the sentence I just said, that's about as much as I know. I know that India has had a tumultuous past year, to put it lightly, and that they blame a lot on tensions with China. But what do you know about their ban of TikTok?
Yeah, so while we are going through a economic kind of war with China, an intelligence war and a tech, you know, arms race, if you will, especially ahead of 5G. India and China have had military scuff ups in the last couple of months, particularly along their border. So in response to that, the Indian government, which does have the authority to more forcefully ban an app than the U.S. does, I believe, did essentially force TikTok off of their out of their country. It's not a firewall like China has, but for all intents and purposes, they did. You know, it's not on the App Store in Apple or Google Play, and so, you know, and India was its biggest market. I mean, it was a real craze in India. So it's a huge blow. TikTok is appealing that decision. There are some remedies. They were very briefly banned from that country last year, but resolved it over children's privacy concerns, something they've also been in trouble for in the United States. And then the other countries that TikTok has come into conflict with are obviously the US and Australia, which has had very similar kind of criticisms. And then they also, interestingly, removed themselves from Hong Kong over Hong Kong's new national security law, which basically allows Beijing and to have a more forceful hand in the open internet that is happening, that does occur in Hong Kong. And there are some real police threats to tech companies and the employees of tech companies that are very recently in place in Hong Kong. So it has been a whirlwind of a 6 weeks for TikTok and every social media company, but in particular, TikTok.
Yeah, this I don't want to get off too much on a tangent, but this reminds me of a lot of the concerns and the conversations, you know, with Huawei, for example. I'm curious to know, you know, if you had to kind of look forward, if you think this deal will happen, especially with the timeline that the president proposed, which is, you know, well before the election.
Yeah, I mean, I think, if I had to guess, I would say, yes, I think a deal will get done. I mean, it's 6 weeks. It's not a lot of time, but Microsoft seems to be forcefully pursuing this and publicly pursuing this and calling the president. I've never heard of a CEO of a major tech company negotiating a government force merger over the phone with the president. You know, it's just, we are living in absolutely bonkers times, you know, so anything can get done. I mean, I'm sure that it seems like ByteDance wants to make a deal to offload its TikTok properties in the US, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada to Microsoft by September 15th. Seems like Microsoft wants that. It seems like most of most advisors to Trump and perhaps Trump also are okay with this. So I don't see why not. I think it will probably be some sort of deal that sees Microsoft retain majority in operating ownership of the company, while other investors, I believe Sequoia Capital and SoftBank and some others have been in the mix about minority ownership. But we'll see what the deal looks like. We'll see how much money it is. We'll see what actually happens and what Microsoft promises to do in order to safeguard user data. This is very new territory for Microsoft, which is not really in the social media space other than owning LinkedIn and, you know, some gaming properties. So we are in for some very weird and interesting times.
And before we go, I feel like we should just briefly revisit the fact, because I don't think an acquisition is going to resolve the actual privacy issues with TikTok.
Yeah.
Because, you know, on a personal level, like, how much does TikTok bother me that it's owned by a Chinese-based company? Not a whole lot. How much does TikTok bother me based on how much data it wants to access from my devices? A lot is both my concern level and the amount of data it wants. They got in trouble. Let's see when that was. It was about a month, a little over a month ago, when they were essentially caught accessing a lot of the clipboard data on mm-hmm. your iPhones, which they are not the only ones to do that. But iOS 14, are we on?
Yeah.
Made it to where you could tell when an app was kind of mm-hmm. looking at the stuff that you were typing. And basically purloining it. TikTok said, that was a anti-spam measure that we were using to make sure people weren't posting the same thing in a million different places, which, you know, it's like every defense TikTok gives, it makes sense, right? Like, mm-hmm. like they always say, that's not really how we operate. But in the end, you kind of have to take them at their word or not, which is where a lot of people just decide whether or not they trust it. So, I mean, I feel like this acquisition could almost be a way for TikTok to get out of having to answer those questions, because Lord knows we put up with way too much from Facebook and other apps of how much data they want. Do you think that issue might get kind of lost in this debate?
It seems like the Trump administration wants to kind of, I think someone described it as a whack-a-mole. They want to kind of put violating companies in their place one after another without really doing anything about privacy, which would be accomplished through legislation. It doesn't solve a lot. You know, may it make it more secure? It may. Microsoft, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, I think that most opinions I've heard kind of say that as far as personal privacy and security go, TikTok is not a much worse offender than any other US-based social media apps, maybe a little bit. The clipboard issue is certainly problematic. And they've gotten in trouble already for privacy in the United States. The FTC fined TikTok $5.7 million last year for COPPA violations of children's privacy rights. And supposedly they are looking into whether they are continuing to violate children's privacy. So does this help make your experience on TikTok more private and secure? Probably not, maybe slightly, but it is really seems like whenever a company gets on the gaze of the Trump administration, that's when they take action. We saw it last year with a very similar situation with Grindr, the gay dating app. We've seen it with Huawei and ZTE and Broadcom and Qualcomm. You know, we've seen this happen before, but it seems like a little bit selective.
If I can give my one hot take on TikTok.
Go for it. I hope it's spicy.
Not all of that. Yeah, I do think that their minimum user age is way too young. It is, I believe, 13, unless that's changed. And, you know, I think under 18, you might have to have parental permission, which I have no idea how that even works. But, you know, it's definitely a platform where I think anyone has used it because of the nature of the algorithm and the FYP, the for-your page mm-hmm. setup. As a parent, as a person who uses it, I think the algorithm's great. Love it. And I think it's what's really missing from competitors like Byte and what's the other one
Triller.
That's blowing up right now? Triller. And those two, by the way, exploded from absolute nothingness in the Apple App Store within one day of Trump's banned comments to being the number one and number two app. But you know, I think Byte is like 17 plus or something. It's a higher minimum age.
I think most of them, I think Facebook's 13. I think most of them are 13.
Yeah, but it's just, there's something about, like, again, as a parent, I find the algorithm, the setup of that one, where it just dumps everyone into your front page, whether you follow them or not. And so that's like, I like TikTok, I think, as a creative platform. Ko and I are both big fans.
Mm-hmm. So
not to speak for you, Ko. But you know, that part, I'm like, it is very adult content.
Yeah.
And well, that depends, right? The algorithm serves different things based on your demographic, what you like. And there are even, you know, Trump supporters on there. But I see your concern for that. I know that one of my friends, she's a disability advocate, and she says her audience is mostly 11-year-old girls, and I was kind of like, 11? That's way young.
Yeah. However old you think people are on there, they're younger.
Right.
I think what I'll say about the algorithm is that, especially for those who are listening who might not have used TikTok before, either in business or personal capacity, it is incredibly powerful, the algorithm that fuels it, in a way that I've never seen in another social media app before. And it is... What's really interesting about it is that the way that it operates is different than Facebook or most other social media, where you don't exactly, where your reach on that platform is not limited to how many followers you have. So you could be, it's not what we call charted to a follower graph. Basically, your video could reach 100 people, it could reach 10 people, or it can reach, you know, a couple million. You know, it keeps pushing it out in kind of a very powerful way, which kind of alleviates any interest and concern about how the app works.
Yeah, it is. It is, to your point. I've been kind of down on algorithmic news feeds since they launched in both Facebook and Twitter, and Instagram. I didn't like it there either. but you know, TikTok. I'd say nailed it. But on the other hand, of course, there is the philosophical argument that it just digs you deeper into the trench that you're already in.
I find that it is so powerful that it actually does not reinforce a lot of the – it shows me a lot of things that I would never think of, which is what a good algorithm does. A good algorithm is supposed to introduce things and test against what you think you want to see and show you new and surprising things. Meanwhile, I've been able to custom fit my Instagram feed to be entirely dogs, because it's that sensitive. And I just don't think I could do that on TikTok. I don't think, even if I only clicked on dogs, you know, or watched dogs and interacted with it, you know, that I would only see dogs. It's just, I think, a superior algorithm. That's my hot take.
This has been great. Ko, before we leave, I mean, like I said, you use TikTok pretty frequently. How are you feeling about it these days? I mean, has any of this changed any of your thoughts about it? Did you respond at all when there were concerns that it might get shut down?
Yes, I was tempted to do one of those. This may be my last TikTok post. Follow me elsewhere. But I did not. I figured things would not happen overnight, right? Again, to Scott's point about no unilateral decisions being made. I think it's, yes, one of the most creative platforms. I've been introduced to so many new dances and creators at home. I think it's a great way to connect. I do have my own concerns, but you know, I figure if you're living a modern life and on these platforms, like, you've basically signed your life away, right? So
yeah,
so basically you just have to understand and accept that, when especially when you sign up for something. But I'm curious to know, you know, if this acquisition will happen and if anything will change. I don't see any big changes except for, you know, like on LinkedIn. I see some promotion of Microsoft products, but there's, you know, not a lot of proliferation there. But in terms of what I create on TikTok, you know, I still find that balance of sometimes my meditation or mindfulness post getting 70,000 views, and sometimes something only getting, you know, 20 views, and that's totally fine. It's just another, you know, way for me to create. So
Yeah, and I think, like, as I mentioned, like, checking into Facebook was kind of interesting. I don't go into Facebook very often, probably for the same reason a lot of folks. But the, you know, checking into it the other day, it helped me understand maybe the political strategy here, because I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, Scott, how many people use TikTok, like, in America? 50 million, something?
I think it's like 60, but yeah, not entirely sure.
Yeah, it's not a small number.
No.
You know, and very largely Gen Z, a lot of first time voters. And I was sitting there thinking, like, what a bad play.
Yeah.
You know, like, what a kind of unnecessarily negative move to be known as the president that either did or tried to shut down a tremendously popular app. And then I went on Facebook and I see all these parents who are not, you know, deep in the app, don't use it. And they're just like, I've heard it is Chinese spyware targeting my children. And if you hear it that way, if you believe that, you know, that's a pretty compelling argument. And if you think Trump is looking out for you as a parent, maybe there's some political strategy there. But I have to admit, up until seeing that, that I was kind of like, what is the strategy here? But then that's a question you can just, you know, bash your skull in asking.
I would love to see, like, polling on this, you know. I would love to see the splits in polling on this. You know, it would be absolutely fascinating. I don't think this decision is going to drive parents to the poll that are, you know, to the polls that wouldn't otherwise vote for Trump. Could it motivate some first-time users? Maybe first-time voters, maybe. But, I mean, it's all speculation at this point. Just
so if anyone's out there listening and planning on polling, please get in contact with our reporter, Scott Nover.
Yeah, I'll take first-look data. You know, we can talk about it.
Well, definitely drop us an email if you have any thoughts, concerns, or if you are doing any original polling that we should be aware of at podcast@adweek.com. That's podcast@adweek.com. Code, Scott, thank you both so much for making time for us.
Thank you, David.
All right, that was a bonus episode of Yeah, That's Probably an Ad for Ad Week. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Those reviews mean a lot to us and help new listeners discover the show. Our theme music is by Home. This bonus episode was produced by Co M and edited by Lane McGibney. I'm David Greiner, and we'll be back with our normally scheduled programming next week.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.